All right, 10:15. Can we make some noise for Jesus? Come on. And that was better than the 9 o'clock. I had to make them do it twice. Listen, I am so excited to be here. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Adam, and I have the opportunity of being our Jasper campus pastor. And do you guys just love our church? I love Desperation Church and everything that God is just doing here, whether it's what God's doing in Arab or in Jasper or here in Coleman, man, God is just moving, and it is just an honor and a privilege to be a part of a move of God. And on top of that, man, I love our pastor. Can we give it up for Pastor Andy Heiss? It is just it's an unbelievable honor just to be able to share a platform with him. It's always been a dream of mine to be able to do ministry with him. And so right now I am living the dream and loving every single day of it. Well, for those of you who are just joining us this Sunday, we have been in a series the past 4 weeks called Traveling Light. And this whole series has to do with God dealing with the baggage that we carry around, life's baggage, okay, that we carry around. Everybody in this room, we all have baggage. And the first week we scratched the surface, and then every single week we have been getting very detailed about the baggage in our lives, okay? And so during this series, we're halfway through, you know, this is going to be the summer-long series. There are two reactions that you can have to the things that we say, to the things that God tries to do in your life. There's one reaction where you say, hey, God, you know what? You can have my baggage, Lord. You can have that. You know, I want to walk in freedom. You can have all this. I'm tired of being weighed down with this, God. I just choose freedom, God. I choose you, you know. And you write it on a connection card, and everybody just knows it, and you're just excited. And then there's this other reaction, okay? Because I'm telling you, because we're getting more and more specific, there are some bags that you want to let go of, and then there are going to be some bags that you carry around that you still want to maintain control of, okay, and never really give to God, okay, and just like, God, you can have all of this, but you can't have this bag, okay. And I found a movie clip that just kind of has our reaction, just kind of that negative reaction when God's trying to deal with our baggage, and we're like, God, you can't really have that one. I want you to check out this movie clip before we go any further.
I'm sorry, sir. You're going to have to check that.
I got it.
No, I'm sorry. That bag won't fit.
We'll I'm not checking my bag, okay?
Okay, there's no need to raise your voice, sir.
I'm not raising my voice. This would be raising my voice to you, okay? I don't want to check my bag, okay? Because I already did that once and you lost it. And then I had everything screwed up very badly for me, okay?
Well, I can assure you that your bag will be placed safely below deck with the other luggage.
Oh, yeah? How do you know my bag will be safe below with the other luggage? Huh? Are you physically going to take my bag and put it beneath the plane? Are you going to go right now outside with the guys with the earmuffs and go put it in there?
No.
No? Okay. Then shut your pie hole and listen to me when I say that I am finished with the checking of the bags conversation.
Sir, we have a policy on this airline that a bag is this large.
Okay. You know what? Get your grumpy little paws off of my bag, okay? It's not like I have a bomb in here. It's not like I want to blow up the plane.
Sir.
I just want to stow my bag according to your safety regulation.
Sir.
Hey,
sir.
If you would take a second and take the little sticks out of your head, clean out your ears, and maybe you would see that I'm a person who has feelings, and all I have to do is do what I want to do, and all I want to do is hold on to my bag and not listen to you. And the only way that I would ever let go of my bag would be if you came over here right now and tried to pry it from my dead lifeless fingers, okay? If you can get it from my kung fu grip, then you can come and have it, okay? Otherwise, step off.
Now, this is the entire, I know that that is so funny, but there are going to be things that the Lord reveals to you in your life that we will have that. Like, all I want to do is just hold on to my back and not listen to you, Pastor, you know, or not listen to what the Word of God says, and we want to maintain control of it, okay? So I want to protect you from that reaction, because here's the deal. Here's the whole goal out of the entire series, and something that you need to understand is that it is God's will for you to live life light, okay? It is God's will for you to live life light. And we can choose to live life heavy and choose to live life just carrying around all of our baggage and choosing to give him things that we want to get rid of and then hold on to things that we want to control. Or we can just give it all to him and walk in freedom and trust in our shepherd, trust in Jesus, okay? And God has given us a map in his word on how to live life light. And it is found in the 23rd Psalm. This is a very familiar psalm. We're breaking this psalm down all summer, verse by verse, word by word, phrase by phrase this morning. And so we read this together every single week all across three campuses during this series. And we're going to do the same thing here today. So if you brought your Bibles, you can go to Psalm 23. If you don't have your Bibles with you, I have two gigantic Bibles on either side of me that you can read from. Let's read this together. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Somebody said amen. Amen. Listen, we're going to come out of verse 3. Chapter 23, verse 3 today, where it says, he restores my soul and he leads me on the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And so I want to talk to you and kick off today. We're going to talk about two bags today. And the first bag that I want to talk to you about is the bag of hopelessness, the suitcase of hopelessness, okay? And I want to talk to you about how God restores our soul. Okay, before we get into it, let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you so much for your presence. Lord, I pray, God, that those who came in here heavy walk out light, God, that your word pierces hearts, that no man or no woman walks out of those doors the same as they walked in. God, move in our lives here today in Jesus' name. Everybody said? Amen. Okay, we're going to start off very different here today. Okay, very, very different. I want to ask everybody to close your eyes. Close your eyes. Those of you who are not closing your eyes and you're too cool for school, I'm about to put the camera on you. Okay? I need you to close your eyes. There you go. And I want you to picture something with me. I want you to imagine yourself in a jungle, a dense jungle, a dark jungle. Your friends convinced you that this was a once-in-a-lifetime trip, and here you are. You paid the fare, you crossed the ocean, you hired the guide, and you joined the group of friends. And you guys ventured where you had never ventured before, into the thick, strange world of the jungle. Let's take it a step further. Imagine that you were in this jungle and you were lost and alone. You paused just for a second to lace up your boot, and when you looked up, your friends and the guide were gone. You looked all around you, screaming their names, and no one answered. So you took a chance and went right, wondering if they went left. You're alone, and you've been alone for, well, you don't know how long it's been. Your watch was attached to your pack, and your pack is on the shoulder of the nice guy from Vinemont who volunteered to hold it while you tied your boots. You didn't intend for him to walk off with it, but that's what people from Vinemont do. But he did. And here you are, stuck in the middle of nowhere. You have a problem. First, you are not made for this place. Now drop you in the center of avenues and buildings, and you could sniff your way home. But here, in the trail-hiding thickets, you are out of your element. You weren't made for this jungle, and what's worse, you aren't equipped. You have no machete. You have no knife. And no matches, and no flares, and no food. You aren't equipped, and now you're trapped, and you don't have a clue as to how you're going to get out. Before moving on, let's pause and ask ourselves how you would feel given these circumstances. What emotions are surfacing right now? What thoughts would you wrestle with? Fear? Absolutely. Anxiety, to say the least. Anger? You'd like to get your hands on your friends who ditched you in the middle of a jungle. But most of all, what about hopelessness? No idea where to turn, no clue what to do, and who could blame you for sitting on a log and burying your face in your hands and thinking, I'll never get out of here. You have no direction, no equipment, and no hope. Can you freeze frame that emotion for a moment? Can you sense for just a second how it feels to be out of your element, out of solutions, out of ideas, out of energy? Can you imagine just for a moment how it feels to be without hope? Now you can open up your eyes. If you can imagine that feeling, then you have a lot in common with a lot of people in this room right now. See, because here's the deal. Life is a jungle, okay? It's a jungle out there. But the deal is, this jungle is not made up of beasts and trees. Our jungles are made up of failing health, broken hearts, empty bank accounts, bad doctor's reports, broken relationships, broken families, broken friendships, and we end up in debt, hospitals, and divorce courts. And the predators and the sounds of this jungle, the predators and the wildlife that you hear in this jungle, they sound like the complaints of our neighbors, the demands of our bosses, the phone calls from creditors, or the drama-chasing friend or family members. You see, it's a jungle out there. And see, the jungle and the chaos around us is the jungle that exhausts us, and it's the jungle that consumes us. And as a result, we end up picking up the suitcase of hopelessness. Now, I understand for some of you, your jungle's beautiful right now. I mean, like, it's good. You got a waterfall in your jungle. You have disrobed and made a loincloth, you know, and you're learning how to swing on the vines. You're being raised by gorillas, okay, and everything's just good and just peachy king. You got fruit. You got shelter. You just got, everything's just good in your jungle. But there are people in this room, I'm willing to bet, in a crowd this size, that there is somebody in this room here today that you are in a situation that is causing you to feel hopeless because you're in a situation where you feel lost. You're out of answers. You have not a clue of what to do. And you wonder, how in the world am I going to get out of this? And you feel hopeless. See, it's amazing the things that come with hopelessness. Let me tell you what follows hopelessness. It's the bag of loneliness. It's the bag of anger. See, the bag of loneliness, I mean, you could be surrounded by people all day long and still feel like you're the only one in the room. Still feel like you're the only one dealing with what you deal with and never let anybody in because they would not understand or they would be surprised by what you're dealing with. So it's the bag of loneliness. The bag of anger comes with hopelessness. The bag of despair, the bag of rejection, the bag of depression, the bag of resentment, and the bag of confusion. All of these come with hopelessness, and all in all, just results in emptiness. We're empty. We're empty. The bag of hopelessness is just an empty bag. That's what hopelessness makes you feel like. Listen to Proverbs 13:12. It says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. And so how do we get out of hopelessness? How do we put down the suitcase of hopelessness? Well, first of all, we have to go to Jesus, and then we have to go to the right people. And a lot of times our issue is that when we are in a hopeless situation, we are just confused, and we are just jaded, and we are just messed up, and just everything around us is falling apart, and we have no answers. What happens is a lot of times is we go to people who are just as confused and jaded as we are, and they never have any answers. All they have is opinions. Or we go to our diary, known as social media, and we let the whole world know about it, and we get comments of validation that are just opinions and no real answers. See, when we're in a hopeless situation, we have to have the right relationships with the right people. That's why we push small groups so hard, is because we want you in the right relationships with the right people who have vision, who may can see things in you or a part of your life that maybe you don't see yourself, and can offer some vision and some direction through the jungle that is your life. So you have to have the right people. And you also have to go to Jesus, okay? We need someone with vision. We need somebody who knows the way through the jungle. We need a guide through the jungle. We need a shepherd. You know, we talked about a few weeks ago, we're just sheep. We have not a clue. We're defenseless, we're directionless, we're dumb, we're dirty. We don't really know. We think we know, but we really don't know. We have a tendency to wander and we end up getting lost. We need a shepherd who guides us through the jungle. And it's not the whole deal of where God is sitting back and, you know, he's behind you. He's like, all right, there's the jungle. Go get him, tiger. Go on. It's going in. No. That's not how God works. God goes before you. Your shepherd goes before you and he clears the thickets. He provides a trail. We just have to follow him. We have to put our eyes on him, on the God, instead of the jungle, instead of the chaos. We need a shepherd. Psalm 121, verses 1 through 2, it says, I look up to the mountains. Does my help come from there? My help comes from the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. And so how does God restore our soul and help us put down the suitcase of hopelessness? Does he remove the jungle and the predators and the chaos and the crazy situations? You'd be surprised, but the answer is no. See, God does not restore our souls by removing the jungle. He restores our souls by giving us himself. By giving us himself. And so in the jungle, when we are rejected, we can find acceptance in him. In the jungle, when we are hated, we can find that we are loved by him. In the jungle, in the chaos, when we are stressed, we can find peace in him. In the jungle, when we are depressed, we can find joy in him. Because see, here's the deal. Hopelessness is an empty bag. That's what hopelessness does to you. It makes you feel empty. And there are people in this room you didn't realize and you couldn't ever put a name on how you're feeling right now. But you say, Adam, that's the perfect definition of my life. I am empty. And the reason that we walk around empty all the time is because we put our hope in an always changing seasonal jungle that's mountaintops and valleys instead of putting our hope in a never changing, always constant Savior. We've got to put our hope in Jesus. In Jesus. See, God doesn't necessarily change the chaos. He changes us. Sometimes in the middle of your mess, sometimes in the middle of your jungle, sometimes in the middle of the chaos, before God ever deals with the chaos, he wants to change you. He wants to change you. Maybe he doesn't want to fix your marriage right now. Or fix your spouse. Maybe he wants to change you. Maybe he wants to change you. Maybe he doesn't want to fix your financial difficulties right now. Maybe he wants to change you. Because when God changes us, then our problems will take care of themselves if we allow him to change us. Maybe God doesn't want to change your health situation. Maybe he wants to change you. Well, Adam, how can you say that? I mean, God, Adam, God's a healer now. I mean, that's biblical, right? Yeah, it is. But I just want to give you some proof real quick because we need to understand God is a God who's always doing more than we think he is. Always. Always doing more than we think he is. Listen, in 2015, my mom got diagnosed with cancer. It was just like, I mean, I did not expect it. Nobody expected it. It was just a curveball, and we all just freaked out. And what do you think we went to praying? God, will you heal my mom's body? God, you're the healer. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. By your stripes, she's healed. In Jesus' name, God, heal her of cancer. And all we were focused on was cancer. And God said, before I ever change the chaos of that diagnosis, I want to change her. And I also want to change your father, because what you don't know is that in 2013, my parents divorced. Of 30 years, they divorced. They got a divorce. And so they were apart for 2 years. Then my mom gets diagnosed with cancer. And so as she gets diagnosed with cancer, I remember the look on my dad's face. And I remember my dad began to take care of my mom. And all that hurt that was there, God began to change them before he ever changed the situation, before he ever changed their health. They learned to forgive, and they learned who God really is to them. God began to restore their souls, that even in the midst of cancer, God healed their hearts. And I remember showing up just on a regular day to see my mom. She had been going through chemo, and, you know, man, it was just crazy. And I remember just sitting there on the couch, and my mom said, hey, listen, I know we've been praying for God to heal my body, but he's healed more than that. And I said, what did he heal? And she said, he's healed our relationship. And she said, here, son. And she handed me a marriage license, and she said, will you marry us? And I said, sure, when? And she said, right now. And I got to marry him in the living room, okay? And so, hey, I didn't even remember what to say. Like, I didn't have a book with me. I was like, God, just kiss her. I'll sign it, you know? Just say I do, you know? I just messed up, man. And then God healed her body. But before he healed her body, he had to heal her soul. What am I saying? Am I saying that's always the case? No, but I am saying that pay attention, because God always is doing more than you think that he is doing. And maybe he doesn't want to fix your problems just yet. Maybe he wants to fix your perspective. Maybe he wants to change our perspective. I love what Colossians 3, verse 2 in the Message says. Listen to this. It says, so if you're serious about living this new resurrection life with Christ, act like it. Pursue the things over which Christ presides. Don't shuffle along, eyes to the ground, absorbed with the things right in front of you, the jungle, the hopeless situations, the things you're in the middle of. Look up and be alert with what's going on around Christ, because that's where the action is. See things from his perspective. Sometimes God doesn't want to fix our problems and change our problems. Sometimes God wants to change our perspective, because here's the truth, the ugly truth. There's always gonna be problems. There's always gonna be issues. I wish I could tell you that he would take the issues and the problems away and all this stuff would just go away and the jungle would turn into a beautiful pasture and everything would be great, but that's just not the case. But he changes your perspective because, yeah, man, there's mountaintops in life, man. Things are good, man. You're Tarzaning through the jungle. Everything's good. And then there's valleys where it's just hell on earth. And God is constant in both of those. He's the God of the mountaintop and the valleys. Life's always going to be a roller coaster. That's life. There's always going to be hopeless situations. There's always going to be problems. But in that, God wants to give you a new perspective. He wants to give you his perspective. Are y'all with me? Yep. Everybody with me? 10, 15, two of you? Awesome. Listen, sometimes, and here's the truth, sometimes you won't understand. Sometimes you won't get it. Maybe you do get laid off. And sir, she may never come back. Ma'am, he may never come back. And maybe you do get a bad doctor's report. But it's in those moments right there, in those moments that seem to be just so hopeless, that you can choose to put your eyes on the jungle and put your eyes on the chaos and live with a crushed soul carrying around the suitcase, the baggage of hopelessness, or you can allow God to restore your soul by putting your eyes on him, no matter what season you're in, no matter what you're going through, no matter what you're dealing with, setting your eyes on Jesus. Setting your eyes on Jesus. Jesus doesn't give us hope by doing away with the chaos and doing away with the jungle. He gives us hope by giving us himself. Satisfaction and hope is only found in Jesus. It's just Jesus. And he promised he would never leave you nor forsake you. We've got to fix our eyes on him and trust him, because hope is only found in Jesus. Now I want you to close your eyes again. If you're in this room and maybe you're in a hopeless situation, maybe that's you and you've been carrying it around. You have no answers for what you're in. Maybe it's in your marriage, your finances, your kids, your job. I want you just to picture Jesus standing right in front of you right now. And just picture yourself handing him that suitcase of hopelessness. And just trade with him, because he wants to give you hope in him. Now you can open up your eyes. The second bag I want to talk to you about is, it's a bag that I think can make us feel hopeless, okay? And this is the bag of guilt. The baggage of guilt, okay? Psalm 23b, it says, he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. We talked about how he restores our soul in hopelessness, but now we're gonna talk about how he leads us in the paths of righteousness. See, the thing about guilt is we carry guilt for two reasons. Number one, things we have done. And number two, things we didn't do. Things we have done and things that we did not do. And this is a bag that most of us carry. I want you to picture with me if our spiritual baggage was visible for everybody to see, just in this room right now, at Moe's, you know, at Publix, at Walmart. If you could see everybody's spiritual baggage, you know what you would see the most of? Guilt. Guilt. Just bags upon bags upon bags of guilt. And these bags are overloaded with binges, overreactions, words we can never take back, blow-ups, compromises, and regrets. And what happens is our lives end up being dictated by the thing that we're guilty of. Our lives end up being dictated by what we think are our biggest mistakes. And we see every relationship through our biggest mistakes. We see God's love for us through our biggest mistakes. And we never have clarity because we always see it through what we are guilty of, through what we have done or what we refrained from doing. See, other bags we carry, but guilt consumes us. It's all over us. Bags and bags and bags of guilt. And our lives end up being dictated by it. You know, guilt masks itself as condemnation. Conviction. Guilt masks itself as conviction. But the deal is, conviction always produces life. Guilt always produces death and a miserable walk with Jesus. Always. And so here's the truth about guilt that I want to tell you. Man, it's about to set you free. Are you ready? You are guilty. You did do it. That thing you're thinking about right now, you did do it. Or maybe you didn't do it. Maybe you didn't do things quite right, but you are guilty. You're guilty. And there may be a small group of people in this room who say, you know what, Adam, you know, I'm really not guilty. You know, like I'm a good person. You know, I've never cheated on my taxes. I don't really have any dramatic relationships with anybody. You know, I'm good. Actually, me and my family, we buy bicycles for kids who can't afford them at Christmas. And so, like, we're good with old JC. You know, like, everything's just good. I'm not really guilty. And listen, that's because you're judging it according to man's standards. But when we judge it according to God's standards, man, His standards are so high. He said, you have heard, do not commit adultery. But I say, if you even look at a woman with lust, you've committed adultery with her in your heart. What is he saying? He's saying, my standards are so high that we're all guilty. We've all broken. Every single one of us in this room, you're guilty. We're guilty. We did it. Every single one of us in this room, we have all broken the law of God. Romans 3:10 says, no one is good, no, not one. That we've all broken the law of God, and it's called sin. And when we broke the law of God, there has to be a debt paid for a broken law, right? The only issue is me nor you could do anything in and of ourselves to pay the debt for the law that we broke. Now, when we break the law here on earth, I mean, we can pay the debt, right? We can do some jail time. We can pay a fine. We can do community service, go to driving school. We can pay the debts for the laws we break here on earth. But when we broke the law of God, His standards are so high that there's nothing me nor you could ever do in and of ourselves to make ourselves right with God again, ever. We couldn't go to church enough. We couldn't read our Bible enough. We couldn't pray enough. We couldn't live holy enough. We couldn't give enough money to the church. We couldn't buy enough bicycles for kids at Christmas. There was nothing we could do in and of ourselves to make ourselves right in the eyes of God again. And so because of that, we were separated from God in real hopelessness. No hope, nothing we could do. But God saw us separated from Him. The Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world, for God was so in love with the ones who were separated from Him. He said, I'm so in love with them, and I know that they have broken my law, and I know that they have put themselves in this situation. I know that there's nothing they can do in and of themselves to make themselves right with me. And so I'm going to make them right with me. And I'm going to bring those who were far from me close to me again. Not because of anything they have done, but because of everything I will do. And the Bible says that God sent His Son, Jesus, to live 33 years on this earth, the perfect life. The Bible calls Him the spotless Lamb of God. Bible says that He was beaten beyond recognition, and then they nailed Him to a cross, and on that cross He died. And then they put him into a tomb just like they would anybody else who was crucified. But on the third day, God raised him back to life. And that paid the sin debt for all humanity, past, present, and future. And the Bible says that if you just believe in your heart that Jesus did this for you, that he died and rose again for you, and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and repent of your sins, which basically means, God, I'm tired of doing life my way. My way is not working. I'm turning from that. And God, I want to do life your way. Did you know that Jesus doesn't ask any questions? That he doesn't say, explain yourself. He doesn't say, what do you have to say for yourself? Explain your life up until now. He doesn't say any of that. He says, welcome home. Welcome home. And all that old junk you brought with you, guess what, man? Jesus makes all things new. So you can walk out of here today, not fixed, not repaired, new. New. Not because of anything you have done, but because of everything Jesus has done for you, because he loves you. So maybe you're in this room here today, before we go any further in the service, maybe you're in this room here today and you say, Adam, you could be in here and say, man, I've been exposed to church all of my life, but man, that's not, I didn't realize what Jesus did for me, really. And man, today, like I want to make Jesus the Lord of my life. I want to follow him all the days of my life. And if that's you, listen, I want to lead you in a prayer, but I don't want you to put your faith in the prayer in and of itself. I want you to put your faith in the person of the prayer, the one drawing your heart right now, the one speaking to you right now. So let's close our eyes. If that's you, just say, Jesus, I confess you as Lord. I believe in my heart that you died and rose again for me. And God, I'm tired of doing life my way. My way doesn't work. God, I want to do life your way. And today, Jesus, I make you the Lord of my life and I choose to follow you. Thank you. Thank you for what you did for me. In Jesus' name. Now, with every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking around, listen, if you're in this room and you just prayed that prayer, I want you to know this before I ask you to do this. I'm not gonna expose you. I'm not gonna call you out, call you to the front, do anything weird. But if you're in this room with nobody looking around and you just prayed that prayer, would you raise your hand up where I can see it? Just raise it up high. There's one. Anybody else? Two. Come on, is there anybody else? Awesome. Listen, if you just raised your hand, for those who have raised your hands, maybe for the ones that didn't, I want you to take that connection card out of the seat in front of you. And I want you to fill it out from top to bottom and check the box, I committed my life to Christ today. And then on your way out the door, I want you to stop by the red tent in our front lobby and just give them your connection card. And they've got two free gifts that they want to give you that's going to help you in your walk with God. And the amazing thing about this is that you don't have to follow Jesus alone. You've got an entire church family that you never knew you had who wants to do life with you and wants to follow Jesus with you. And so make sure and take those next steps. Now, I want everybody to look up at me. Jesus became guilty so you would not be. Okay? Jesus became guilty so you could walk in freedom. The Bible says that the wrath of God was poured on Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says, he who knew no sin became sin so that we might become the righteousness of God. He leads me on the paths of righteousness. What is your path of righteousness? Is it anything you've done? No. Your path of righteousness is just Jesus. It's Jesus. It's just Jesus. One more time, I'm gonna ask us to close our eyes and I'll close us in prayer, but I want, listen to me. For those of you in this room, you're thinking about that thing. And maybe you're in this room today and you say, Adam, listen, it was after I knew Jesus. Like that mistake, it was after I knew him. Like that was the biggest mistake. It wasn't before, it was after. And I've walked in this guilt and shame. And I think I'm supposed to because I knew better, right? Listen to me. Close your eyes. Close your eyes. And I want you to picture Jesus standing in front of you. And I want you to hand him all the baggage of guilt that you've carried around for years. And I want you to see him giving you freedom. And listen to me, it is so illogical, it doesn't make sense, that you can stand in the empty place of forgiveness and acceptance, undeserving and loved by God. Live in that. Live in freedom. Live your life light. Don't let your biggest mistakes dictate the rest of your life. Walk out of here new today. Now, Father, in Jesus' name, I just thank you for every person under the sound of my voice. And Father, I just ask God that, Father, for those who are hopeless in this room, that you breathe the breath of life into them right now. And that, Father, that they see that no matter what the situation, good day, great day, bad day, horrible week, horrible month, horrible year, whatever season that they are in, God, that we understand that our hope is only in you, Jesus, because you are the only constant. Everything is changing, but your love never changes. And you will never leave us nor forsake us, God. Our hope is in you. Lord, we thank you for freedom from guilt. We thank you for the power of your blood. And Father, I pray, God, that we walk in that today. We walk in the freedom of the gospel today. In Jesus' name.